This program is brought to you with support from the U.S. EPA. We're here to present the EFC Network podcast. The Environmental Finance Center Network is a partnership of 12 centers serving 10 EPA regions. The EFCN provides training and technical assistance to small water and wastewater systems. This podcast series has been designed to help system personnel improve technical, managerial, and financial capacity of the utilities and communities they serve.
Hi, Nathan. Thanks so much for joining us today for the EFCN's podcast. Glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you for having me, Don. My pleasure. And I am a senior utility advisor for Moonshot Missions. We are a technical service provider, part of the EFC network, and we are out helping people that need it the most and really love what we're doing as an organization, and glad to be a part of this podcast.
Great, thanks. So what are you planning on talking with us about today?
Well, I'd like to share a little bit, you know, about my background into the business, the utility field, and what we do with Moonshot, and some of the successes that we've had going around this great nation, just trying to help people any way we can.
Great. I look forward to hearing about it. So why don't we just dig right in? Can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you got into the business?
Sure thing. And I'd like to think that my story is similar to a lot of the operators that I have met in my career, is that the water business found us. I didn't set out looking for this field. Prior to this, I was an electrician. I was working in the trades groups, and found a town close to me that was looking for a maintenance electrician. So I joined that group, and it kind of came natural because I understood some of the mechanics behind it and how the equipment was designed to perform. So through the process, I learned the chemistry involved and biology involved, and went to trade school and really latched on to the apprenticeship nature of the first town that I worked for that was familiar to me. So I latched on and worked through the certification programs, achieved the highest level possible, and found myself involved in different roles. I started out as an operator and worked my way up to manager and director levels. So I recognize some of the faces that I see out there on the road that maybe through attrition work their way up through organizations and just sometimes need a little extra help. And I'm glad that we can provide some of that opportunity to other people.
Great. So on your journey with your current role, what are the moonshots in front of you? And maybe explain what that moonshot terminology means.
Yeah. So Moonshot Missions was founded by George Hawkins. And, you know, he had this idea to, well, assemble leaders across the nation that have kind of been in the utility business. So we're representing that group, but we also have combined forces, if you will, to go out and help other people. And that idea is that moonshot is taking that next big step, no matter what size the community is, providing opportunities that they might otherwise not have. So like sometimes there's this luxury for bigger cities and bigger utilities to have this abundance of resources. Most of the people that we help, or if not all the people, are on the smaller town size, mid-sized city that maybe not have all the resources to their disposal to kind of create those success stories. So we get to show up and kind of offer help in that advisor role, kind of point people in a direction to create some positive momentum, because sometimes with the challenges in front of people, no matter what size the utility, everyone has challenges as it relates to the workforce, as it relates to rates, as it relates to regulation. And we get to kind of slide up next to these folks and just give them a helping hand. And we have a deep bench and people from all walks of life and experience that provides an opportunity that otherwise these towns and cities may not have. So it really is the focus. We're in the water business, but we're people centric and getting out there to help people in their critical moments of need. Sometimes challenges are thrust upon them. Sometimes people are aggressive in going out and solving their problems, and we're able to help provide some solutions in that role. So I love the opportunity, the mindset the Moonshot Mission has to get out and just help people that need it the most.
So in your experience in the field and in working with the people and providing some assistance, what are some of the takeaways that you've collected over time?
So one of them is networking. Networking is vital to any utility, any organization. And what I'm seeing too is that some of these smaller utilities by proximity are not connected to maybe some of the bigger central hubs in some of these states. So a lot of them are out on their own in some aspects. So I recommend the idea of networking either with larger groups like WEF and AWWA or state groups. Just the idea that people are not walking through this alone, that there are people out there that can help. And if anything, that networking is building relationships with people that are walking through the same struggles or maybe same challenges, right? They might be 2 hours away by distance, but they're dealing with the same challenges as it relates to managing a small or mid-sized utility. So we encourage like that idea, lock arms with other people, charge through the challenges together. And I think that's an opportunity to have for anyone in the business, really. And I would think, another matter that we've learned out there in our experience too, is that data matters. Data and process control is probably one of the most well-known targets in any treatment plant operation, but not everyone is embracing it. I at least say that each plant is unique in its own way. How do you communicate the information in the data as it relates to the facility? So when we go out, whether people are in compliance or out of compliance, what is the data telling you? And often there's not enough data to make informed decisions. So part of that process is helping people. What are the data points we should look at? What are the opportunities that we can turn this information around to make informed decisions? And one of the successful opportunities that we've had is going out and training people on a simplified process control method. We identify it as the SPINS method, and it's usually material that can be purchased for under $2,000. You get a centrifuge, some vials, and you identify your collection points throughout a wastewater treatment plant. What it's focused on is where are the solids, how much is there, and then you can use that information in a simplified spreadsheet on, okay, how do we maintain the biological health and the biology within this process to keep this plant in compliance? Because it's a simple process for most people that are wearing multiple hats in some of these smaller towns. So the process control method could be done within a half hour in daily rounds throughout the plant. And even things like a simplified ammonia test kit that you could buy at Walmart just to see where the ammonia levels are through the process. The more data that you have, the more informed decisions that folks can make. And it really is. It's a simplified process, again, to do something that for plants that maybe are struggling with compliance or don't have a whole lot of direction related to process control, you implement this, it's going to give you some benchmark and some goals to work towards. And we encourage people to do this with the idea that you run the plant, don't let the plant run you type of thing. So it's been fun. It's been fun getting out there and kind of spreading that message and then teaching people that otherwise haven't been exposed to some of this process control, or they expect it to be more complicated than it really is. And there's more to treatment at a wastewater plant than just comparing the influent and the effluent. There's more to it. So we really enjoy that process and getting out there and helping people.
Yeah, Nathan, I can definitely echo everything that you're saying. You know, a lot of times the only data that systems are required to submit are effluent data. And if they're out of spec, or they're not, meeting their permit, or all they have is effluent, And if they don't know if they're doing anything at the plant at all, you know, the very first step is to say, well, let's see what's coming into the plant and what's going out of the plant. And if the plant is doing anything or if it's just dying, you know, so, it sure is helpful, I think, to hear that a wastewater treatment plant that's having some compliance issues, some discharge permit issues, they're not the only ones. And, you know, maybe they don't have a good idea of where to get started and just, you know, what data should we be looking at? Well, definitely start with some influent and effluent data, and then let's grow from there. And, you know, how often should we be wasting and those kinds of questions? Oftentimes it's, well, the manufacturer told us to waste every 8 hours or every 3 days or, and that's all we know. And that, you know, so that's what we're doing, but our influent flows might vary significantly, especially if we've got pump stations that have, you know, some INI issues or, you know, all of those different kinds of things out there that wastewater treatment plants have to deal with. And so, you know, what I'm hearing is that these systems are not alone and that there are some solutions out there that are relatively inexpensive, and you and the EFC network have the ability to offer some of that assistance and to help get them, you know, maybe gathering some data that's a little bit more useful than just effluent data. The other thing that I'm hearing from you is that these people shouldn't be alone, that the people are the important part. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, the people that I've met in the utility business and water and wastewater treatment business, I think it begins with people. Folks are working for these communities, and they're usually their own community. They're serving their people every day. They're providing either life-sustaining water or clean effluent to the local stream. So it's all connected. And it's the same thing, like this business that we're in is focused on people, but cannot be done without people, right? There's levels of automation that some larger facilities have in place that, you know, can eliminate the need for people around the clock 24/7, but not at these smaller plants. A lot of these smaller plants are hands-on. It requires maintenance duties throughout the day, throughout the week, along with sampling and the related operational techniques that come into place with, like you had mentioned, like the flows can go up and down. Some of these small communities, as communities continue to grow, also have a certain amount of inflow and infiltration that can inundate some of these plants. So it's just not as simple as turn the plant on and walk away, right? You know, if they go into high flow, these folks need to come in and make sure that everything remains where it's designed to be, type of thing, whether remaining in the collection system or at the treatment plant. So, you know, a lot of these folks involved in these small towns or any town, really, they found a way and made a career out of this treatment industry with the idea that they want to help people, but they're also doing it because there's a paycheck involved, right? And so there's stability with some of these entities and these government groups. But a lot of these folks also need a little extra help as it relates to training, right? So they show up to these jobs, or maybe they end up at a facility and the person before them either retired or didn't leave a whole lot of information on the way out the door. So we see some of these folks needing that little extra nudge and a little help in that direction. Like, what are we actually working with here? And what are the control parameters of a facility like this?
Yeah, so talking about that education aspect, you know, there is, I hear stories all the time about the limited availability of training, and it's expensive, and there are issues with operators not being able to travel to a training because of what you said. Their plant has to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They can't shut it off for the weekend. They can't, you know, so... So the EFC network is doing a lot of work to try and put resources out there like this podcast, but also do more virtual trainings and educational videos and even animations to help make things easier to explain to your board members or, you know, decision makers. And one of the things that, one of the videos that was recently completed was about how the SRF dollars work and how a community would come into those SRF dollars. So are you seeing the bipartisan infrastructure law money being used for infrastructure at these small plants?
Yeah, and I do, because the it's like once in a lifetime opportunity with these funds. So part of that idea is getting these resources out in the hands of folks that need it the most. And by that, I mean, I'll say like small town utilities, they may not have all the layers that a bigger city has, whether it's on staff engineers or, you know, robust finance director or something like that. We're able to help use or provide these tools through the EFC network to some of these folks that are out there that otherwise don't know how to connect to the funding. Maybe they've seen the emails. I'll also say, like, there's that white collar syndrome where a lot of these folks are blue collar workers, and just some of the material that they may see might not translate to them in their experience. So some of the tools out there at the EFC network, again, ties into that mission of us pushing folks towards the funding to kind of improve their plants, right? Improve their facilities, their collection systems, all the like, and along the way too, with the tools and resources that the EFC network has, tons of information on the website, tons of tools, tons of training opportunities that, again, if folks are looking for options or they're too far away from the big training hubs, connect into this. I've been very impressed with the information that the EFC network has. And, you know, a lot of small towns too, what they're working on is asset management. There are some great asset management tools on the EFC network that a lot of folks have put in some hard work to make that resource available for people. It's there, you know, and so that ties into the idea that anyone hearing this, or I'm a small systems operator out in the middle of nowhere, go to this webpage, go to the EFC network, look at the tools and resources that are there to help you. And then upon that, there's so many people networked if you need some help or have a specific situation that you could use some guidance on or some advice. There's people willing to help. And that's what I've been impressed about being involved in this realm, that there's so many people that have a heart to help folks. It's beautiful to see, right? And the effort that have been put into these programs to help people nationwide is just, it's brilliant to see. It's been a long time coming in my mind, at least, to see this type of initiative and program. And so I'm thankful for all the sponsors and all the people that have made this happen, you know, from the federal government level down. Again, we're getting out to corners that, I'll say, like local regulators, I'm not saying that they've given up, right? You know, these facilities that have been in historic non-compliance, you can only throw so many letters and fines at people that are already on that lower spectrum, you know, that don't have the capital or the O&M to take care of it. So programs like this and relationships come in. Let's look at the finances. Let's look at the technical side and see what we can do to help. And it's just brilliant. You're seeing it pop all over the nation, and it's where we need to go, right? With these protected resources, water is a finite resource, and to protect that, we need to do great on our water reuse or reclamation through our sewer treatment facilities.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah. Any closing thoughts before we end today?
You know, I can't take credit for this, but if anyone's watched the show Ted Lasso, I think that type of humble kindness that gentleman shows on that program has done me well. But he has this quote, you know, be curious, not judgmental. I think we need to continue as a group and an industry. Ask questions, talk to people, connect people together, because I feel like we're all doing the same thing, whether big city, small city, village, rural, county, we're all doing the same thing. Let's find ways to network and help each other and at least, I don't know, maybe be in each other's corner as it relates to getting this work done. Because again, it never stops, right? This water and wastewater game never ends. So let's build some relationships now that continue on throughout the future. And The people involved in this business, all levels, are, you know, strong and resilient, and I just love to see it. There is a heart and a passion for people that this water industry focuses on. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again for your time. I appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Dawn.
Absolutely. And thanks to our audience for being here today. Tune in for more podcasts in the future.
Thank you to all our listeners for tuning into this episode of the EFC Network Podcast, brought to you with support from the US EPA. Be sure to stay tuned for future EFC Network podcast episodes.